cliffcentral.com.
All right, let's meet. Now, these are three very, very famous ladies who made a name for themselves just a couple of days ago. Do you remember when everybody went on the Zuma Must Fall march on that Friday? It was the day before the weekend. Everybody was very excited. Right across South Africa, there were marches taking place. And three ladies took to the streets and they filmed, well, they didn't even film it. Someone else filmed them doing a song. And let me try and remind you, just in case you missed it, of what they actually got up to, because it was at Beyers Nordea, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I recognized the background. And and they suddenly found themselves to be very, very famous. Everybody wanted a piece of them. I saw an ad the other day where you three were in it doing a song, a version of your song. Here are the grannies doing it. They've called you grannies. I hope you are grannies. Otherwise, it's just very rude. Right. Zuma must go. That's right. Now, this little clip has gone all over the world, and everybody's talking about it. It's amazing that you three have become so famous because of this. I think it's fantastic. So we've got Joan, Jill, and Debbie in the studio with us this morning. First of all, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm so honored to be in your celebrity company.
Thank you. We're honored too.
Now, are you all teachers? I've heard that you're all
yes.
teachers.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
true?
Yes,
all right. So as teachers, were you off school that day, or did you take the day off, or was it something that everybody else did? Because how did you find you work at the same school?
It was school holidays.
Okay.
School holidays.
So you all know each other even though you work at different schools.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And
you decided, Jill and I are sisters.
Oh, okay. So Joan and Jill are sisters.
Yes.
All right. And Debbie, how do you know them?
I've been a friend of Jill and Joan's for 33 years.
Wow, okay. And what, you called each other up the day before, you said, this president needs to go, we're going to go and do our bit.
That's basically it.
We did.
I'm very impressed. Are you members of a political party, you three, or are you just active citizens?
No, we are all members of a political party, and we do vote.
Is it the EFF?
No.
No. No.
See, they even sing that in chorus. So the person who alerted me to you is Palesa. Palesa, wave to them.
Hello, Palesa.
Three grannies. So she showed me this clip and she said, look at this. It was on the morning that it happened. Look at this. Isn't this great? Did you know that you were being filmed?
No.
No.
You had no idea. No, you were just doing your thing.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is we arrived there and we were one side of the bridge, and then we were all dancing and doing our thing. Debbie and her husband and her son had made a big banner.
Mm-hmm.
Joan and I had a vuvuzela, and Joan had her hat on, and right. We were sort of moving up and down the bridge. And when we got to the middle of the bridge, we saw quite a bit of activity there, and people were toy-toying and singing a song like this. Now, so we tried our hand at toy-toying, which was pretty much shocking.
Oh, really? You realized this was not for you?
No. We got a guy to try and teach us, and it didn't really work.
But good for you that you figured out quickly enough that you shouldn't be doing toy-toying, and you discovered some other thing that you were better at.
Yeah, it just sort of evolved as we went down. And I noticed, because I was blowing the vuvuzela to that sort of tune, and mm-hmm. I noticed people taking photographs and filming. And I found people I knew along the bridge, and they were all sort of standing in awe. And I still sort of thought, why are they looking at us? You know, I don't know.
Who came up with the song?
Actually, we think it was the Outer Group. There were a group of people who were doing something similar.
Oh.
And we joined in with them. But I think the original one was the group from Outer.
Zuma Must Go, Zuma Must Go, Zuma Must Go. We'll get you to do it. Just so. But this is what's catapulted you to fame. And then I believe some company, FitChef or something, they discovered this clip, and they actually asked you guys to do one for them.
Absolutely.
I hope they paid you for that. Paid you for that?
Oh, yes.
In glass of wine.
Because you teachers are the backbone of our society, and you don't get paid enough. And
that's right.
And teachers should be able to show their creativity in places like street protests, right?
Definitely.
That's right.
Definitely.
I think this is really good. obviously you've got young minds that look up to you, and you've got people who you, would you teach all the subjects, or is there a particular,
I'm a special needs teacher, so.
Okay.
And I've got the little ones, I've got grade R's. So basically we do life skills, maths, language.
The lot.
Art, that's
right.
It.
That's hard work.
No political subjects.
No, but these special needs kids, I mean, that's the most difficult work of all, because you've got to pay such careful attention to all of them, and they're not as independent.
No, they're not.
As other kids their age.
No, they're not. No, they're all different. Obviously, I mean, no two children are the same.
No.
So,
I mean, they used to always just throw the kids with the physical disabilities, the kids with the mental disabilities, the kids with emotional problems. They'd throw them all into one big pile.
Well, they are still in one big pile.
And that's not great, right? Because they're very, very different. They could be a physically disabled kid who's really, really sharp.
Yeah.
And then he gets lumped with some kid who, you know, can't say her own name until she's 36.
you have got a variation of schools, because you've got the West Rand School and those sort of places that will take your children that have a normal, what we used to call IQ.
Normal and invited.
Normal, and I always say normal is whatever you are.
Right.
Very normal.
No, you three are not. You're lunatics. All right, so you teach the special needs kids.
Yes.
Joan, what about you?
No, actually, I taught at the school where I am at the moment. I taught there for 32 years.
As a principal as well.
Oh, you were the principal? Oh, you were the principal. Oh, my God. There are going to be a lot of your ex-pupils who will see you and think, wow, she suddenly became an activist. What happened? Because you wouldn't have approved of any of them doing that when you were the principal.
Not at school. No.
Hell no.
Oh, no.
All right, so were you a very strict principal?
No, I think I'm a bit of a pushover.
This is primary school or high school?
Primary school.
Okay.
Primary school.
Well, you know, I had a... we had a woman principal when I was at primary school. She was fearsome. We were terrified. She was like Hitler.
That sounded like my principal.
Yeah.
I was
so scared of her. She would, I think she was a witch. She was probably a witch and had spells and potions.
I don't think so. But I now do aftercare, so I'm not actually teaching.
Okay.
I supervise the aftercare at the same school. So I'm still involved with the same school.
That's very impressive. Thank goodness for people like you. You keep those institutions working.
And all our children went to her school.
Okay.
So.
And how about you, Jill?
Well, I ran a nursery school in Rudyport for 30 years, and I retired a few years ago. And now I'm involved in all sorts of teaching. I stand in. I help Joan at aftercare at the school, and I do an assistant reader at one of the schools in our area. And whenever anybody needs a stand-in teacher, I'm there.
Wow.
And then I've got plenty of grandchildren, so I'm very involved in all their lives as well.
So you're an actual granny. Are you an actual granny, Joan?
No, I'm not.
Then is it insulting to you to be called a granny?
No, because I'm kind of adopted, and Jill's children have been fabulous. They're a wonderful group.
All of them or just a few? Tell the truth.
All of them. All of them. All a little bit crazy.
All right.
They think we're crazy and we think they're crazy.
But Debbie, are you a granny?
No.
No. So do you take umbrage?
No, hang on a sec. I am actually a granny. I'm a granny to a dog.
Okay, well, I suppose that might count. All right, ladies, let's stop messing around. What are your feelings about the country at the moment? Why did you actually go and hit the streets on that Friday? I mean, what do you think's going on here? Why must the president go?
I think the country is in dire straits at the moment. I think that the fact that we've been downgraded so badly, and we're still waiting for the third one to come in, is horrific. And I think the country has basically been robbed of so much. I mean, it's just it's actually in a mess at the moment.
Do you think this president cares about anybody but himself?
No, definitely not. I think it's all about him. It's all about him.
All right. Joan, how long have you been observing this man, and what do you think is wrong with him? I mean, do you think he's a psychopath?
I think he might be. How long have we been observing him? For an awful long time.
Oh, he came in long. What, 2009, I suppose?
I think you're asking the wrong question. Is there anything right with him?
Well, tell me, I mean, what do you think? What do you think the guy's, what do you think he's doing right now? Is he feathering his nest? Lining
yes,
up,
yes,
lining up tenders and deals.
Yeah,
not interested in doing the right thing for us.
Not at all. I think he's proved that to us.
Mm.
I think in the whole Provan Gordon affair, he has shown that he's not interested in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And I think that's what really motivated everybody.
Mm.
It's now gone too far, and it's not a racial thing.
So would you vote for Julius or Musi Maimane?
Musi Maimane.
We like Musi.
Does he know that you're all fan? Now that you're famous, you could be useful to his campaign.
Does he know?
He should pay you. And don't you think it's really good that all these political parties came together last week at the march at the
awesome.
Hempatoria? You've got Bantu Holomisa, you've got Musi Alekota, you've got Musi Maimane, you've got Julius Malema, and they're all marching together against the president.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that saves South Africa.
Mm.
I think that's what I'd like to get
So you
behind.
Like old Sipho Pityana and his movement?
Mm. Yes.
And you like ATA?
Mm. Yes.
Because these people are trying to save our tax money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgraceful that anyone should have to pay tax if it gets used for corrupt purposes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also, I think there's just been a whole, I think everything building up to this, the Guptas, all of this, it's just.
Why did you protest at Bayer's Noordeur? Was it just closest?
Yes.
Closest to us, yes.
Because I would have thought you three might have been at the Gupta compound. Did you think about going to the Gupta compound?
My son went.
Did he?
My son went.
And we actually did start coming up with a song about that too.
First things first, let's just remind everybody how your original song goes, and then we can work on the next edition of that. So, can you give me a live rendition of the Zuma Must Go song?
Absolutely. Okay, ladies, okay. One, two, three.
Zuma must go! 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 Zuma must go!
Isn't that fantastic? And did you see a lot of really, really interesting people at this march? Because obviously a lot of people saw your clip, but there were lots of other people there. I saw the bridge was full, right?
Mm, very definitely. There were lots and lots of people
protesting in their clothes. One lady, she took a flag and she made a whole dress of the flag.
Mm. Wow.
I thought that was original. Mm.
There was a little mommy with her baby on the back of a bicycle. And was carrying his little South African flag, which I thought was so cute. I really did. I mean, at that young age, he's out there protesting.
And it was young and old. It was black and white. It was from different political backgrounds, all kinds of things. And that's really the strength of this country, don't you think?
Yeah. Mm. And the most incredible feeling. Everybody was there for one purpose.
Mm. Yeah.
Some of those cars had been held up on Bayer's Noordeur for between 20 and 40 minutes. And yet we didn't see any frustration, any signs of anger. The taxi drivers were giving us high fives.
Huh.
Even the police were there.
And we've even got thumbs up from them.
The police?
Yes. We got thumbs up from some of the police too.
Any new versions of the song being planned? You mentioned one for the Guptas.
Yeah, that was one of our kitchen ones.
Our family got us in the kitchen rehearsing, doing all sorts of things.
This is sedition, you know.
Words.
I mean, this is sedition and treason. The three of you getting together in your kitchen and singing about the president falling is technically treason. You should really be in jail.
Along with our family.
But you know, we feel the same way about him, so.
Well, yes, I suppose. And who knows, it might still happen. This week there are some very interesting charges being brought against him and his lawyer in the case of Asana, who's the former National Director of Public Prosecution. So you never know. This president's got such a cloud over him. It's very, very difficult to predict what might happen.
Yeah, but he seems to manage to get out of it all the time.
Well,
I mean, that's
frightening. This is the point, right? You shouldn't underestimate this guy. He's very smart.
Mm. Very smart.
But you know what it is? He's paying people off. I'm sorry, but that's what I feel.
Now, what do you think is going to happen at the vote of no confidence?
If it's a secret vote, secret ballot, then I think there might be a swing.
Okay.
But if it's not...
You think the people in the ANC are too afraid?
They're scared.
Because they'll lose their jobs, their money.
They're
all skeletons, right?
That's right. Exactly.
What do you think? Maybe the Guptas have paid each one of them $1 million to keep President Zuma in.
That wouldn't surprise me either.
Have you ever bumped into any of the Guptas?
Yeah. As I say, it wouldn't surprise me.
Have you ever met any of the Guptas?
No.
What would you do if the president phoned you up and said, ladies, hi, would you come to my residence and sing that song of yours? I would love to have you here. I'll give you the order of Mapungubwe. Would you do it?
No.
I wouldn't step into his residence.
No.
Really?
No.
Even if he asked you nice, if he said his wife was a huge fan of yours.
No, even more reason. Even more reason.
I wouldn't like to give him any credibility.
Very steadfast.
Absolutely.
No.
Our children are at stake here.
Right now,
and our grandchildren.
Now, are you going to carry on being active in this? Are you protesting again? Are you going to join any more marches?
We are not going to sit back and let this go without. We were actually talking about this, how we can carry this through, because we really need to.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are looking. I'm on a Facebook community forum, and I've had a lot of people responding and saying, please, where are you going to go? We'll join you. We'll join you. Mm. So it seems like grannies are looking for somebody.
Yes.
And, by mistake, we have got to the front now.
But you've hit a nerve here. You see, you may be white grannies, but this country has largely been raised by grannies.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a lot of women in rural areas in South Africa who are not the parents. They're the grandparents of the kids that they're raising. They are the ones who are often the breadwinners. Mm. They're the only people who can offer support to the family back at home. They keep it all together. We've got a lot of grannies who matter and mean a huge amount in South Africa. So maybe that's also where you struck a chord.
Yeah, we couldn't understand what was it?
No.
You know, I've asked black and white people, what was it about that video? And one person said...
That's your great singing voice.
Hardly.
My one grandson said, Granny, you've got a yellow shirt. What do you wear a yellow shirt for? And I laughed at that because I thought that was significant to his age group, you know. He picked up my clothes. Mm. Other people picked up... I had a flask in my hand. I wonder, what did you have in the flask, you know?
And they liked your hats, didn't they?
Joan had a hat on.
Joan, you had a hat.
Yes, I had a hat on. I don't know what it was about that, except that in the video it keeps coming over my shoulder.
Well, you were busting some dance moves. What do you expect?
It was raining when we first started in the morning. So we stood there in the rain. It wasn't heavy, heavy rain, but it certainly, we had umbrellas and the hats and the raincoats on. And then after our vigorous dancing, we did get slightly warm. So,
but you could be the leaders of the next march, for all you know. I mean, it's amazing how this thing's just got people excited. And I suppose for you, it's also amazing who would have contacted you. I mean, how many calls and messages and
emails
did you get from people after
Unbelievable.
That?
Unbelievable. It's had over a million likes on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
My son's little thing on Facebook to everybody was, this is what happens when you let the old folks out on their own.
Did you meet anyone important on the bridge? Were there any important leaders there that
Hage was there.
He's from Outer, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he was actually leading our side from Welterfontein Park.
Okay.
So his car was there, and I noticed his car was parked on the bridge very definitely to stop anybody sort of mowing down everybody.
Oh.
So
but
he was there.
Meet him.
He started off the sort of walk. We walked from one area, probably about 4 kilometers down to the bridge. Mm. So he was sort of leading that part of it.
Who would you like to meet? I mean, who would you like to give your support to? Who would you like to?
I would like to.
Would you like to meet the president and tell him to get the hell out?
I wish he would get the hell out. I think we've been so vocal. He must have known. He must know about us.
I'm sure he's
been very vocal.
In fact, I've got a recording of his reaction right here. You want to hear what the president...
Oh, yes, please.
Listen to this. This is President Zuma when he heard your Zuma Must Go song. And this is an exclusive, everybody. Here's what he said.
Oh, wow.
That was his reaction.
Lovely.
He liked that. Who would you like to, you know?
Muda Musimani. I would really like to meet him.
Musimani.
I would really like to meet him.
He's from our area too.
Is he?
Yeah. He went to Ellen Glen High School, where all Debbie's and my children went to high school there.
Okay.
And so he's from our area. So, yes, definitely. My daughter's got a photograph of him taken with a group of her friends around about Matricia. So, yes, definitely.
When's the next march? Come on.
I don't know.
But you're ready.
We've been waiting to find out.
But basically, you're ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
At a moment's notice.
Mobilize us, yes.
I might get fired, though.
I'm sure you wouldn't get fired. It's not like you're busy passing in your political views to your kids, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. According to future president...
Oh, yes, of course. Nkosi Sanad Dlamini Zuma. Now, what do you think of what she said? You're all teachers. She said that our schools are doing damage to young people by telling them that the ANC isn't this marvelous organization that she thinks it is.
And they're corrupt.
Yeah.
Well, they are corrupt.
No, so, there we go.
But I don't think the teachers are doing that. But
no.
It's not the syllabus.
No, teachers
it's
basically, I mean, anybody knows.
You just pick up a newspaper. You just have to listen to the radio.
The kids do it on. They find it on their phones. They see it everywhere. Right. I mean,
children are listening to their parents, seeing it on TV.
Mm. Mm.
They're quite aware, I've found.
Do you think that young people now are far more aware than you were when you were that age?
Definitely. Very definitely.
And it's because of these things?
I don't know.
Cell phones?
When I was growing up, I grew up. My parents were very active, and so I grew up in a situation where I was very. We spent a lot of time in the States, and when I came back here, it was quite different for me. It's because we were different schools. You know,
you didn't have black and white people mixing.
No,
and you thought that was strange.
And I was very much this very radical person when I was in 9 in matric. So it was, I found that very strange. You know, for me it was, you know, we had visiting professors come over who were black or Negroes from the States, and it was never a problem for us. But it was very hush-hush. You know, you weren't allowed to do those kind of things.
So, I mean, on the political spectrum, you would have been quite left-leaning then. Now they'll say, well, because you want the president to go, you might be right-leaning.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Can you believe how much has changed?
Yeah, sure. No, it's crazy. It's actually crazy.
I can tell you a story of my sister when she was young. My mom was, I don't know how old were you, Joan, probably 10, 11, 13, where you were nearly arrested on the road because...
You were arrested? My God,
she was nearly arrested.
As a teenager.
I think she was with my mom in the street of Florida, and somebody was being thrown into the back of a van because they didn't have their pass on them. And Joan was almost screaming and shouting at the policeman, my mom holding her back.
At the age of 12, huh?
That was a little bit older. My first one was where I now realize it was the forced removals from the Sophiatown area.
Yeah.
And I can vividly remember stopping on the corner and seeing them dragging this young boy by the feet. I was trying to get out the car, and my mother was trying to pull me back and get around the corner quickly.
But look at you with your struggle credentials.
Wow. And my mum was part of Black Sash.
Oh, really?
So
this activism runs deep, ladies.
Deep in the families,
Now, do you think that things are going to get better?
Oh.
I mean, are you optimistic or are you pessimistic?
No.
Give me the down note.
I'm terrified.
It's scary.
I'm terrified.
It's very scary.
I think it's for the children. It's for the young people that we worry. And I mentioned once before that Jill actually has a mixed family.
Oh, yeah?
And she has two grandchildren who are 3-year-olds. The one is black, one is white.
Okay.
And not only are they cousins, because they call each other cousins, in fact, best friends, they absolutely love each other. And you look at the picture of these two children, mm-hmm. and you think, what's going to happen to them in the future? Are they going to be able to grow up in this South Africa of ours, which we love?
With opportunities.
Mm. Fantastic mm. opportunities. Yeah.
Or are they going to end up having to work for the Guptas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. No. Slave labor for the Guptas.
Yeah. It's very scary because I think, you know, it's affecting everything. I think it's affecting our entire lifestyle in every aspect, yeah. whether it be education. I mean, education in the last how many years they've changed, I don't know how many times they've changed the curriculum. They never seem to be able to settle on one thing. So, I mean, that's just one section.
And this is crucial. This is why, more than anything, I wanted to meet you, not because of the song or anything else, but because you're all teachers. And to hear what different perspectives you mm-hmm. might have on how to fix this education problem. You think that they're changing it too much?
Well, I mean, I think in the last five years, I think it's changed three times. They keep changing it, making adjustments, doing this, doing that. And I don't think it's necessarily for the better. I think that children are, you can't push children through if they can't go through. I mean, it's just, how can you send a child up with 30% or 33%?
Yeah. You know, you don't know anything if you know 33%
exactly,
of something.
You know.
What do you think, Joan?
I think one of the biggest problems is teacher training. Big mistake was taking away teacher training colleges.
Mm.
And I think for the large majority of our children, they are being taught in enormous classes. I think 2 weeks ago we were talking to one of the black teachers, and she has 50.
About 68 or something, yeah, in a class.
In a class, yeah. Mm.
Now, how can you possibly teach children? That's babysitting.
No, cannot.
Yeah.
You can't educate children when you've got that number in a class with one teacher.
Impossible. No, it's impossible.
And I saw somebody was talking to me the other day saying that they were at a school and all the children were running to the class, and she was standing in for somebody, and she thought, oh, this is exciting. They actually want to come and learn. But the reality of it was that they were looking for a chair.
Oh, because there weren't enough chairs for everybody.
Because there weren't enough chairs for everybody.
Oh, no.
So they were running to class for a chair. That's terrible.
You know, our experiences in our school, we've got 25 in a class.
Mm.
We're a privileged school, not a rich school, but we're a privileged school.
Yeah.
But the schools in the rural areas, they have so little. And yet so many of our children in this country are being taught in those sort of conditions. How can we possibly bring up the next generation of young people when they're not getting a decent education?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we've been asked is, would we have protested with the fees must fall? I don't know, because I don't know whether the fees, I agree, it would be wonderful if fees fell. But we also need to be helping the children. We need to be having foundation phase education for the majority of all the children in our country. And I'm not sure that isn't more important than fees must fall.
Yeah, because that's really for a tiny elite.
Yes.
Mm. You know, tiny percentage of population who get to go to university.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people don't even get the basic skills of reading and writing.
Mm-mm.
And maths. I'm sure that there are probably some of the kids, because they get your special attention in the special needs class, who do better than some kids who go all the way through to matric in normal school.
Not really, because the problem is that even in the special needs schools, the classes are getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, if you're lucky, you have an assistant. But if you're one of the few, you're sharing assistants.
Do you think President Zuma is a special needs child?
Yeah, you might be onto something.
He might know. I think you're insulting my special needs children.
Whoa. Ladies, congratulations on your fame. I hope that it leads to much more activism. I'm so pleased that you are, all three of you, examples of how people can carry on being concerned citizens, keep on making a difference, and you really do. And my message to everybody on that Friday was, whatever it is, if you take the day off and you go and stand on the street corner with a placard, or if you march, or if you sing, or if you dance, or if you actually go and change the way other people vote, you're doing something.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can't bitch and moan about the circumstances and the country if you're not prepared to actually get off your bottom and actually do something.
Correct. Well, you three have. Well done for that. Keep working on some more songs. We're looking forward to the next edition. And soon you'll be all over the television again and millions of views on YouTube. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you,
thank
Gareth.
You. Thank you for having us.
What a pleasure to meet you. Do we call you the Zuma Must Go Grannies? Is that what you called?
Or the Zuma Grannies just.
Oh, do you want to be called the Zuma Grannies? Because that could mean that you're his grannies.
Oh, no.
Not Zoomers. we're also grannies on the go. Grands on the go because we're right. active.
There
and
we
fit.
Go.
And yeah. 94.7 called us.
What did they call you?
The Nanas.
The Nanas. All right. Very good.
We like the one that one of the gentlemen out there, he said that we're the Glammies.
The Glammies. Oh, yes. He liked
that.
Was
Sia? Yes. Did Sia say that?
That
right.
was Sia. Yes.
Do you want to ask the grannies anything before they go? Do you want to talk to them? I know Sia's a big fan of your Zuma Must Go song.
No, he thinks a brand of clothing or whatever. He's got it.
He's, all right, so Sia, you want to extend their brand?
Yeah, absolutely. This is now the time. I'm totally seeing the glammy scarves. You know, look at them. They all have red hats on. Yeah. If you want to stick to politics, you can have red berets.
No.
Like you just play on that. We need a single, ladies. We need to get this going. 15%.
And then there's three of them. I'm thinking Destiny's Child.
I mean, who's a Beyonce? I'm here for you.
We love you.
Absolutely.
Right. We need to explain our red hats and purple scarves.
Yes, explain
can we
that
do
to
that?
Me. Yes, go
okay,
on.
Okay, Joan, you go ahead with that.
There is a poem about when I grow old, I want to wear purple with a red hat. So, and then towards the end it says, but in the meantime we need to practice. So we are practicing because we're not old.
No.
That was the only thing we objected to. They called us old ladies.
No, we didn't like that.
But we can be practicing.
We're practicing. So the red hats and
my comment back to them was, excuse me, a little less of the old.
Well. Then you're going to wear purple and red hats and you're going to be glamorous and exciting.
Yes.
Well, I'm convinced you're already on your way to all of those things. And thank you for making a difference and for being a part of the society that's just not going to take it lying down, right?
No. Yes.
Very good.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. What a pleasure. CliffCentral.com.